We had a brief children's time up in front where we enjoyed a little bit of discussion. Two of those children are here with us again this morning, and I'm going to ask Logan and Nathan, if they wouldn't mind, if it wouldn't be too embarrassing, just to come up and again and join me up in front just for a little talk. Good, it's not too embarrassing. Last night we had a little box that was wrapped up as a Christmas gift, and inside that box were some things that we distributed to you. Had a candy cane and a pencil that said Happy Birthday Jesus, and gave you a chance to go pick a present out under the tree last night. And if there were going to be some other children here besides who were here last night, we would have done the same thing. We would have given them a candy cane and a pencil and a gift. You all got that, yes, last night. But we would have talked about something different from last night. So we're going to talk just a little bit about how old you are. So how old are you? Can you show me? You're 11, so you can't show me. How old are you, Logan? 9, so you can show me, right? That's 9, okay. And what do you like to do on your birthday? What do you like to do? What's your favorite thing to do on your birthday? Open presents. Is that what you like to do? What else? Do you like to play games? Maybe have a party? What else? Eat cake. Ooh. Yeah. So birthdays are special, aren't they? Yeah. And today, you know, we're celebrating the birthday of Jesus Christ. And I wonder how old God is. How old do you think God is? If you knew, you'd be the first person in the world to ever know. So shrugging your shoulders is appropriate. I don't know either. But I wonder, since it's his birthday, that's what we're celebrating today, I wonder what he likes to do on his birthday. What do you think God likes to do? What do you think would be his favorite thing on his birthday to do? I don't know. I mean, yeah. What do you think? Do you think he likes to help people? Yeah. Do you think he, what else would he like to do? Do you think he'd like to get gifts from people? Well, what would you give God if we were going, and we are, celebrating his birthday today, if we were going to give God a gift, what in the world could we give him? Our love to him. He loves us so much, right? And so it would be wonderful if we gave our love to him. And what would that look like? How do we love God? What's one way we show God we love him? Do good things. Do good deeds. Respect your parents, because that's obeying God, isn't it? Because God asks us to do that. Great. How about like singing praises to God? How about like praying to God? How about like what we're doing this morning all together, coming and worshiping God and adoring him and say, thank you, God. And yeah. Well, can you do that on other days besides December 25th? Yeah. And so it's just an interesting thought on Christmas morning to think that on God's birthday, that we celebrate the birth of Jesus Christ, we can give him a gift. Give him a gift of our love. Sing his praises, thank him, do good things, obey him, all of that wrapped up and given to God. And we can do that every day. It doesn't have to be just on Christmas. So that's special. Well, whenever your birthday is, I hope you have a good one. You get presents and get to eat cake. But remember, maybe even on your birthday, you might remember, oh, we talked with Pastor Scott about God's birthday and what we could do for him. Does that make sense? Okay. Let's pray. Jesus, happy birthday, and we thank you for your amazing love for us. And may we in all that we do and say honor this special day. May our songs and our prayers, may the good things that we do, may all of that be a blessing to you on your birthday. Amen. Thanks for coming back up this morning. Thank you. Thank you. Just to clarify, Nick, for me, the instrument, is that a...
It's a euphonium.
Euphonium, that's, that's what I thought. Okay. Yeah. Our scripture reading this morning is from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 2. Of course. Luke tells us more about the birth of Jesus than all the other gospel writers put together. And this is a very familiar passage to us, but it's so, so special today. Luke chapter 2, verses 1 through 7. In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. This was the first census that took place while Quirinius was governor of Syria, and everyone went to their own town to register. So Joseph went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and the line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger, because there is no guest room available for them. This is the word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
Thank you.
Thank you, Yu Chin. Beautiful, beautiful. I can go home now, can't we? Ready to go. Thank you. And just to be clear, Denny, the instrument that you're playing?
A clarinet.
A clarinet? Oh, yeah, I thought they were smaller.
It's called a contrabass clarinet.
Okay. Amen. Thank you. Thank you. So on this beautiful Christmas morning, like every Christmas morning, we're asked to believe some things about Christmas. Reindeer can fly. One of them has a bright, shiny nose. Christmas gifts are distributed to everyone in the whole world in one night by one person. Yeah. Well, as Christians, we're challenged to believe that a virgin conceived miraculously. We're challenged to believe that an angel spoke to the shepherds about a baby in a manger. We're asked to believe that a star hung out over Bethlehem and shined a spotlight on that little town more brilliantly than any star had ever shone. We're asked to believe a lot of things around Christmas. Most of them spectacularly supernatural. And maybe that's partly where some people get the idea that in order to believe as Christians, we have to suspend our rational thinking and just accept the unbelievable. And if that were the case, then the motto for our Christian faith would become, well, I read it in the Bible. I don't get it, but I believe it. And I'm pretty sure God wants us to have some more conviction than that about what we believe. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1, the Bible says to have faith is to be sure of the things we hope for, to be certain of the things we can't see. Another translation says, now faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. That, to me, sounds like we're supposed to get it when it comes to believing. So this Christmas, 2022, the question I'd like to raise this morning is, what is it about Christmas that we're supposed to get? Throughout Advent, we've been asking some questions to help prepare us for today. We've asked, do you hear what I hear? Because the angel offered proclamation and praise. Did you hear that? We've asked, do you see what I see? The shepherds discovered a child in the manger. Did you see what I see? Do you know what I know? God's given the gift of salvation for everyone. Do you know what I know? And today, on this Christmas morning, we want to ask the final and probably the most important question of all. Do you believe what I believe? Have you responded to what you hear, what you see, what you know about Christmas? Have you responded? What assurance, what conviction do you have about the birth of Jesus? What are you absolutely convinced about when it comes to Christmas? What do you believe? To respond in faith to God's amazing love and grace for us, what does that mean? How do we respond in faith, to believe what the Bible, the Holy Scriptures, inspired by God, have to say about Christmas? What does that mean? The whole point of everything in the Bible is to believe, isn't it? At the end of the long Gospel of John, and John records a lot of details about Jesus' life, we find this statement in John chapter 20, verse 30. It says, Jesus performed many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not recorded in this book. But these are written that you may believe. So what do you believe about what happened at Christmas? You know, chapter 2, as I said, of Luke tells us the most about the birth of Jesus. And of course, he records all the miraculous, amazing things that we cherish at Christmas time. But he begins chapter 2 with some very ordinary, common, everyday, might even say boring, events. Caesar Augustus, and so the head of the government of the Roman Empire, announced a new mandate. Sounds like politics to me. So right here at the beginning of the Gospel, of the second chapter of the Gospel of Luke, we have politics and Christmas. A new census was to be taken. For what purpose? For taxation purposes. So now we've got the government and politics and taxes getting involved. Joseph goes to be registered to his hometown. For what? For military conscription. The government needed to know how many able-bodied adult men are there in the Roman Empire so we can know the strength of our army. So now we have the government, we have taxes, we have politics, we have the military involved. Joseph does his civic duty. He complies with his social responsibility to do his part. He makes the 70-mile journey from Nazareth, where he lived, to his hometown, where his lineage was registered, in Bethlehem, 70 miles. He does that because, as I said, all able-bodied men were to be counted, not the children, not the women. The only thing that mattered in the census was counting the men. And yet Joseph goes there with his pregnant wife, with almost wife, with Mary, because he wants to be, think about this. Why did Mary go with Joseph? She didn't need to go. She wasn't going to be counted. Why did Mary go with Joseph all the way to Bethlehem? 70 miles. On foot. Maybe donkey, maybe camel. Mary would have had help around Nazareth. Even with Joseph being gone, she would have had family members there to help her deliver this baby. Why would she go with Joseph? Here's a thought. Maybe Joseph wanted to be present at the birth of Jesus. Maybe Joseph said, Mary, come with me. I've got to go, but I want to be there when the baby's born. You ever wonder about that? No rooms available when they get to Bethlehem, so they have to set up camp in an animal stable. Mary has a baby. Ordinary, straightforward, normal life stuff. Nothing super special. Except that the baby being born is the King of Kings. He's the Lord of all lords. He's the great I Am. If we were going to arrange for the entrance of royalty into this world, we sure would have done it different than how God planned it out. Because the way God planned it out, we've got politics and military and taxes and mandates and no vacancy signs and a baby born in a barn. I don't think I would have planned it that way. Why? Why so ordinary? Why was God's plan just almost kind of run-of-the-mill? Maybe it's because he wants us to know that believing isn't that complicated. Maybe believing doesn't require us to unplug our brains. Maybe what God wants us to believe is ordinary, simple, everyday, straightforward. Think about it this Christmas morning. Certainly the virgin birth is a core doctrine of our faith, But where is it written in the Bible that we have to believe in the Immaculate Conception in order to have our sins forgiven? Certainly the angel sang to the shepherds about the little baby away in a manger asleep on the hay, but where is it written in the Bible that we have to believe in angels in order to go to heaven? Certainly the star led the wise men to Bethlehem, but where is it written in the Bible that we have to believe in astronomy to find our way to salvation? The Bible's clear about forgiveness of sins, clear about entering heaven, clear about salvation. All of it, all of God's grace, all of His blessings, all of it comes to us only one way, through believing in Jesus Christ. Do you believe that? Special passage in 1 John chapter 4, verse 2. Here's how you test for the genuineness of Christian faith. That's what this segment is all about in chapter 4 of 1 John. How do you test for the genuineness of Christian faith? Everyone who confesses openly his faith in Jesus, the Son of God, who came as an actual flesh and blood person, comes from God and belongs to God. And everyone who refuses to believe in Jesus has nothing in common with God. Christmas is important to our faith because we believe Jesus came as an actual flesh and blood person. Simple. Ordinary. Here's what happened at Christmas. Back to Luke chapter 2. Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. Here's what happened at Christmas. Jesus was born into our space. So Joseph went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Bethlehem in Judea. God entered our world. He entered planet Earth. The creator of the universe could have chosen to live on Mars or visit Venus or Hawaii. He chose to be a citizen of Earth, of Rome, of Nazareth, of Galilee, of Bethlehem, of Judea. Why? Because God was keeping it simple for us to believe. Jesus put it this way in John chapter 16, verse 28, I came from the Father and entered the world. We don't have to stretch our thinking to believe Jesus came from the planet Twilo. He was born in Bethlehem. I've been there. I've seen it. It's real. It's kind of ordinary, kind of simple, but it makes it easy to believe. You know how when you visit someplace famous, the events that took place there become more real? I'll never forget the first time I went to Gettysburg. Even this morning, it brings up powerful emotional images, feelings, to see that place where that historic battle took place in our Civil War, to see where the North and South went to war, fought each other. To walk around that place just made it so much more powerful and real to me. Christ was born into our space. We know Earth. We've been there. I don't know, anybody else been anyplace else but Earth? Yeah. Christmas from Bethlehem makes God so much more real. Verse 2 says that this was the first census that took place while Quirinius was governor of Syria. This tells us that not only was he born in our space, he was born in our time. We know when Quirinius was governor of Syria. We have really good ancient artifacts that record those leaders in various regions of the Mediterranean. We know, like Cleopatra when she was queen. We know when Julius Caesar was emperor. We know those. We have really reliable documents that record those things. We know when Quirinius was governor of Syria. We know when George Washington was president of the United States. We know those time-framed elements in our world. God not only entered our space, he entered our time as well. He's the same yesterday, today, tomorrow, forever. He is eternal, he's everlasting, he's unbounded, and yet he chose to conform to the finite existence bound by the tick-tock of a clock. Why? Because God was keeping it simple for us to believe. Galatians chapter 4, verse 4, the Bible says, when the time had fully come, God sent his Son. Christ was born into our time. We don't have to stretch our imaginations to believe Jesus existed in the twilight zone of an infinite dimension. He was born at a particular time of day, probably 3:45 in the afternoon. He was born on a particular day of the week, probably Wednesday. He was born on a particular day of the month, probably the 25th. He was born on a particular month of the year, probably December. In a particular year in history, probably 0 AD. Now you can make a case for different probabilities in all of those that I just suggested, but they would all be arguments for the fact that Jesus Christ was born in our time. No matter what argument you make for 0 AD or 4 BC or 8 AD or time of day or day of the week or day of the month or what month, doesn't matter what argument you make for any of those. The point is, he was born in our time. Christ was born and his arrival frames his existence, his reality, and makes God so much more real to us. And then this verse in chapter 2, while they were there, while Mary and Joseph were in Bethlehem, while they were there in that space, the time came for the baby to be born. And she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. God entered our space and our time as a human being. You caught all those references to baby and born and birth and firstborn. He didn't show up as a space alien or as an Avenger or as some mutant cyborg. He came with skin and bones and hair and teeth and hands and feet. Why? Because God was keeping it simple for us to believe. Philippians chapter 2, verse 7, being made in human likeness and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient all the way to his death on a cross. We don't have to stretch our intellect to believe Jesus was some weird spiritual freak. He ate food. He drank wine. He took naps. He bounced children on his knee. He laughed. He cried. He got angry. He said, I love you, to his friends. Ordinary, simple, easy to believe. Christ was born into our human skin. And we know human, right? We know joy. We know sorrow. We know peace, we know pain. Christmas gives God a heart, a face, a name. and makes him so much more real. Get it? Good. You know, we're asked to believe a lot of things at Christmas. But there's only one of those things that will change your life. We're asked to believe a lot of things at Christmas, but there's only one of those things that will make an eternal difference for you. We're asked to believe a lot of things at Christmas, but there's only one of those things that will determine your destiny. We're asked to believe a lot of things at Christmas, but there's only one of those things that will satisfy your soul. Today, in the town of David, a Savior is born to you. He is Christ, the Lord. Do you believe that? Say amen if you do. Amen. Let's pray. Gracious and loving God, we thank you this morning once again for the beauty of this day. Because your life in us makes us beautiful. And we pray that as we live our life and we give back to you our love, that it's a beautiful thing. As we sing your praises, as we pray, as we pay attention to your word, as we live our lives in holy obedience, may that be a beautiful gift to you. Thank you, Lord, for making this this faith, this act of believing, making it simple, straightforward, not complicated. Thank you for your wonderful gift of life to us in Jesus Christ. It's in his name we pray. Amen.